When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new episode of Collider Ladies Night Pre-Party. And I'm very excited to introduce you all to Markella Cavanaugh, who plays Nori in Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. I've seen two episodes, and as expected, you are a scene stealer. I love Nori so much.
Thank you. Thank you. She's so fun to play, so that means a lot. Thank you.
I can definitely tell. All right. So every single Ladies Night interview starts here. What is the movie, the personal experience, the performance you saw, you name it, that first made you say to yourself, I have to be an actor and nothing else?
I think it was Bicycle Thieves. I watched Bicycle Thieves and there was just, it wasn't even in particular, both of the characters in there stood out to me so much. And there are just performances that I think that are constantly inspiring me where I go, oh, it was that performance. No, it was this performance. No, it was that. And I think, you know, someone like Greta Garbo really stood out to me as well growing up. And I always, you know, I reference Charlotte Rampling because I think she's made such interesting creative choices. And so there are always performances that I think are the ones for me where I go, this is why I'm doing it. And then I'll see another one and I'll go, but that one was also quite amazing.
That's what keeps things exciting. You get to evolve every single step of the way. This next question kind of feeds into that a little bit. So when you first decided that you wanted to pursue acting as a career, what did you picture making it as? Did you have like an idol or a specific type of role that made you think, when I am there, I will have made it in this industry?
I don't know. I never really thought of it as kind of doing it to make it or to reach a certain point. For me, it's just personally, if I'm in a project where I feel connected to the story and you know, I'm fortunate enough to work with really creative and wonderful collaborators, that for me is, I guess, making it, because I'm doing something that I love with people that love what they're doing. So it's as long as I'm like telling, you hopefully continue to tell stories that, yeah, that I can relate to or that I connect to and that are, feel truthful, and that's kind of, I'll be good. I'll be very content.
It's pretty solid guiding light right there. So speaking of some of the other collaborators you've worked with in the past before Rings of Power, is there anything you saw another actor do that really inspired you? Something that you put in your back pocket and now you're able to apply to your own work on this show or maybe even something else you're doing now?
I would have to say the first person that comes to mind is Ewan Leslie. He's an Australian actor and he, we did The Cry together. And I remember just being so, he was so wonderful to work with as an actor. And, you know, if we had like quite emotional or vulnerable scenes, he was so present and would always check in afterwards. And the way that he treated the crew, I think really stood out to me as well. It was just with such respect and like, just making sure that everyone felt kind of calm and like they were being listened to and heard, and like thanking crew for everything. And his attitude on set really stood out to me because he was playing such a really, like, I mean, if you've seen The Cry or if you haven't, it's just a really intense character and it demanded a lot from him, I think. And so to see someone be in that headspace and then be able to just come out of it and be this really kind, incredible collaborator and person was, yeah, I think he's really inspired me a lot.
Big broad question here, but what would you say is your favorite part of the acting process? Do you really enjoy playing in the rehearsal space, wearing your costume for the first time, finding like that random magic that is sparked at any given moment on set? What is it for you?
I think for me, it's the costume and the makeup. I think that's when I fully feel like I am the character, because beforehand, you know, the preparation that you do or the research that you do or the backstory that you do, that's all well and good. But then to actually have kind of the other layers come together, it also just makes you, it also just kind of brings you closer to the heads of department and to the crew, because they've all had a hand in making that. So I think costume and makeup.
Okay, I'm going to flip that around a little now. And in an effort to not make it a negative thing, what is your least favorite part of the process where you've kind of identified some room to grow for yourself and you're eager to explore that more in future projects?
I think almost when you like finish a scene, it sounds really strange, but it's so easy to kind of to overthink literally everything that you've done. And so when you finish and then you're done for the day and then like you just kind of go back and forth and go over things. So I think I definitely want to get to a place where I can just kind of have some kind of feel like some kind of closure on a scene at the end of the day and just go, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. You've done what you can do, and trust that a bit more, because yeah, it's very easy to get into your head, I think.
You're talking to a perfectionist who is very hard on herself. I understand that mentality all too well. All right, let's get into Rings of Powerful Force now. First, because you brought up, you know, the research part of the process before, but even before you get into that, what would you say is the biggest difference between the Nori that you brought to the audition process and the Nori that we wind up seeing in the finished show?
Well, I mean, I didn't know who I was auditioning for, really. You know, there was a code name and I didn't know that she was a half foot. And so I had no idea what I was doing. So it was just kind of, you know, I had a really wonderful audition scene and I prepared that with the circumstances that I was given. And then, so it was just vastly different, I think, because I was obviously then told the history of the half foot community, or like her family and their values and where they're at when we meet them, and it's a very different leaps and bounds from, as in story wise, from where I was at in the audition, I think.
Okay, so then you get past that part of the process, you're doing your research and your prep work, but even after all that, what is a quality of hers that you weren't able to tap into until you were actually on set? Something that really came to light in the moment that all the prep in the world could never have helped you achieve?
Well, again, I think, and when I mentioned leaps and bounds before, it's like the leaps and bounds from audition to character is the crew. Keep mentioning the crew, but it is true. It's like it's the costume and it's the makeup and it's the directing and it's the actors that you get to meet. So I think a quality to her was probably how much she cared for her and cares for her family and her community. And I think that was just helped because I really did care about the people that I was working with. So there was a chemistry there, hopefully, that will resonate with people, or that people will feel like connected to, that was purely because I felt close to the other actors. So yeah, I'd say that just genuine love.
I have to bring up this question I haven't asked in a little while, but with the disclaimer that every single person on this crew is very important and does something special, but who would you name the unsung hero of the Rings of Power? Someone who made an unexpected difference in a day that might've been tough for you, and we should know their name and their work.
Anton from the Green Team. He was amazing. He would basically was in charge of organizing whether we needed more grass or more mud or more this and more that. And there'd be days where he would set all of that up and then would see like one of us slip and come up to us and go, do you need more? Do you need solid ground? And then all of a sudden there'd be like five people coming in to add more grass so that you wouldn't slip and trip over. I think it was that. I think that was quite He was so, and he was always so joyful and positive. And he was working ridiculous hours. Like, the crew were just working such long hours. And he was always so like, yeah, we're here and we're doing it. And yeah, so lovely. So him for sure.
I love the details like that, that are so important that we don't often think about or talk about. So I'm glad you brought that up. I was reading a little bit about your personal preference for more minimalist movies, and this could not be farther from that. So when you jump onto a set like this, what is something about, you know, what it means to step into a big budget fantasy realm that maybe wound up being more creatively fulfilling than you ever imagined it would be?
Exactly. As you said, I think I fell in love with minimalism. And what's been amazing about this is that I can see why. And I had an appreciation for fantasy, but it's different, I think, when you're in it. And I could actually see the pull towards it, because you can feel the same things and relate to the same feelings from a distance. So there's a bit of a kind of, you're slightly removed from the world. You're not looking at it going, oh, I recognize that street. I walked across down that street, and like, now I'm thinking of myself walking down that street. You're going, this is another world. It's another universe, but they're still experiencing things thematically that we do in our real lives. So it was just amazing to be a part of it in that way. I just couldn't, it's made me appreciate that there's always a link between all kinds of genres in ways that you might not expect, I think.
Flat out just described why I like movies and television so much, because sometimes it's just easier for me to process like real difficult human truths, but through a fictional story or something a little more fantasy based like this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. So another part of the TV making process that always fascinates me, and I think in your case, it was filming two episodes and then taking that hiatus rather than just a pilot. And I know that hiatus is largely for, you know, writers and producers to assess what they got and then reassess the path going forward. But for you personally, what was something that you learned while filming those first two episodes that you were then able to apply to your work when you got back to set?
Scale work. Yeah. It's like, so I'd never worked with scale before. And Daniel Wayman, who plays The Stranger, and I particularly had a lot of scale work to do. And we had scale doubles who were just amazing and so like willing to get involved and be a part of it. And so we just had to really kind of establish another way to connect before a scene. So there'd be so many times where, again, crew being so accommodating, like they'd move so that we could look at each other before a take and like connect. And then they'd call action and I'd be looking at either a tennis ball or the wonderful scale double or Daniel Wayman's face on cardboard, like looking really stoic and kind of just so funny. So I think it would be, it was the scale work, and we had like an hour of scale academy, but they would explain the technicalities of how it works. Couldn't tell you what it was because I'm just, maths is beyond me. But yeah, it was so interesting.
Never had someone mention scale work before. I've never heard it referred to that way also, but obviously it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
So we've talked about, you know, the ground and the terrain, you brought up costumes already. What about the production design? Because we do get to spend a lot of time in the Harfoot community during these first two episodes, but that design work is just so incredibly detailed. So is there any specific detail in that world that you noticed on set and you hope people don't miss when they watch these first two episodes, even if it's not in the center of a frame?
In the costume, did you say?
You could pick costume or the production design.
All the questions done. I think that, so I will bring up costume because there's something that kind of stood out to me and that I think you might miss the first round, maybe, but then we'll go back to and pick up on it, hopefully. It's like my favorite thing about the costumes. They're these apple seeds that, as an idea, basically they represent how many people have passed away, how many Harfoots have passed away through each migration. So, you know, you'll see like elders of the community, they'll have so many and they'll be just kind of attached to their costumes and threaded in. And in such detailed embroidery, and then some of the younger Harfoots will have less because they've lost less. And so that was a really nice link and kind of unites the Harfoots as a community, I think, in a really interesting way. And it's not like in your face, but once you know it, you'll see how it tracks.
What a beautiful touch. I love that so much. All right, getting into some specifics in each episode now. Like, one of the first things that struck me about Nori is the scene when, you know, they're out getting the berries and the wool, and she notices the wolf print. Is the way that she's able to keep so incredibly calm to not alarm everybody else. So just for you playing that kind of moment, where do you think that sense of calm comes from, rather than, you know, her going into a complete panic and running off with everyone?
I think it's just the way that they've been raised. Like they're constantly at the mercy of their environment and whatever danger might be around them at any corner. So they've got to have this sense of calm so that they can deal with what they have to face. It's just ingrained. It's a part of the way they live their lives because they have no choice. So if you panic and you waste time, next thing you know, you might not be there anymore. So it's like, I think it's just kind of a part of her, a part of the Harfoot spirit, I guess.
I was busy watching that. And I'm like, if only I could apply that to my own life. When I know. Challenges. Why can't I just take a breath?
Noted. Yeah.
All right. So in episode 2, there's one specific line you say that really caught my ear. This might be me overthinking things, but it's the point where Nori shouts at the stranger, "I'm just a Harfoot." Because based on what I had seen of her before that, I think deep down she knows she is not just a Harfoot and she's not just anything. There's so much more to her than that. So what was it like finding the right way to deliver that line to reflect the truth she knows about herself, but also the fear that she's feeling in the moment?
Yeah. I mean, our wonderful director of that episode, J.A., we were trying to find the right tone for that because she thinks that she's meant to be doing something else, but then at the same time, she's got like such insecurities about that. So eventually it was meant to be a bit of like humor to it as well, where she's like, "This is ridiculous. Like, look at me. I can't help you." And so we just kind of workshopped it a lot and did so many different takes and so just tonally it was kind of everywhere for a while. But I think the important thing was just almost like she's regurgitating what she's been told so many times. And it's that thing as well where, like, if you feel like you failed, it's you say what you've been told that you are, I guess. And for her, it's kind of you're just a Harfoot, so just stay in your place.
All right, as we have to wind down here, we squeeze in some rapid fire questions, or not rapid fire. You can give me an answer and then elaborate on it if you want, but they're very random things and they're some of my favorites. The first question is a zombie apocalypse question. So Let's say a zombie outbreak happens and you're on the set of Rings of Power. You can select 2 cast members from the show to be on your team. Who do you pick to give yourself the best chance of surviving the zombie outbreak on set?
Oh my goodness. Characters or actors?
Actors.
Oh.
I feel like characters might make it too easy.
Oh, that's so tricky. That is so tricky. I think it's this, all of them have their own quality that I think would be really valuable. I think there's a part of me that's like, Ismail would be great in the sense that he's good at putting things into perspective. And I think he's good at kind of keeping everyone grounded and like, just no need to freak out until you need to freak out kind of a person, I think. So that would be quite helpful. And then I think, Nazanin has a really good head on, you know, she'd find like solutions or ways to beat whatever was coming. But I also think Charlie Vickers is like that. I actually think Megan actually is also a great person to have because she's so, I just can't choose.
This is what happens when you work with such a large group of great people.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's tricky.
All right, I'll squeeze in one more before they kick me out here. This has become one of my new favorite questions to ask. So This sparked from The Sandman and the character Death, her appreciation for the little things in life, which I don't think we talk about nearly enough. So what is something that is, you know, it's something that may seem silly or seemingly insignificant to someone else out there, but it's just something important to you, a little thing that brightens your day on a regular basis?
I think music, I'll have to say. I'm constantly listening to it. It helps with everything. It literally helps with everything. So I think music, and I think sharing music with friends and family is really great and important. And you can do it anywhere. So
very true. I love that. Your sharing music is my sharing movies and shows. So I will just use this as an opportunity to segue to the outro and share Rings of Power with you all. I know you're all going to watch it anyway, but Markella, congratulations on the show. And I can't wait to see more and talk spoilers eventually.
Thank you so much.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.